The Dana Cortez Show podcast begins now.
I'm going to tell you a story about when pride goes wrong, and it involves my husband, DJ Automatic. Good morning. It's Tuesday. What's good, everyone? It's the Dana Cortez Show. I'm Dana Cortez.
The very prideful DJ Automatic.
I go by Anthony A.
So we were at a restaurant recently, and I told Automatic.
We were not at the restaurant. We were at the airport.
Okay. The spot looked gross, and I said, I'm going to walk down the hall here and find another spot. And he said, there are no other spots. And I said, there have to be. It's an airport. And he said, no. And I said, this place looks disgusting. He said, well, go do whatever you want to do, thinking that I wasn't going to find a good spot.
Talk about separate restaurants, right?
Yes. So okay. I go down. I find his good spot. I said, hey, I'm about to be seated and order my food. And I could tell he was not happy about this because I found a better spot. Later on, he says to me, God, my stomach hurts.
Oh, no.
I just didn't want you to win. So I ate this gross restaurant when you could have just come with me and eaten at a good spot.
Every man listening right now, every married man listening right now knows the struggle it is to get your wife to just disagree on anything, to go eat wherever you want to eat. If you've ever been in the Las Vegas airport, there's not a lot of choices for restaurants. And I didn't want to leave that little rounded section. And I thought, you know what? I'm just going to eat this. It's right here.
No,
it's
that's
convenient.
Not what you said. You said I didn't want to admit that you were right.
Damn. Well, that part too. But I stood there because there was no seats where I ate. I ate those nachos.
Oh, you ate nachos?
Black bean nachos.
Oh,
and I'm not going to lie, they were disgusting. Oh, but yeah, ate every single one of them just to spite my wife. And I don't know how it spited her, but I'll tell you this, I felt good about it after because I didn't cave to go eat where you wanted to go
how
eat.
How about an hour and a half later, how did you feel?
I had to take a Pepto. It's okay.
When pride goes wrong.
Anytime you're doing black bean nachos, but then black bean airport nachos, you're...
Black bean airport nachos, dude.
Gross. Gross.
The moral of this story is sometimes you got to swallow your pride.
No, the moral of the story is sometimes you have to defy your wife. That's what it is. Even if it means an upset stomach, okay?
Stand on business and sit on the toilet.
I'll tell you what. I won that round. Yeah, I promise you that.
Sure.
Everybody in a car,
what
man, woman,
eat, Dana?
Whatever. Oh, I ate a beautiful homemade chicken noodle soup with a side of crackers and some french fries.
And that's why I didn't go with her, because I didn't want to eat chicken noodle soup. I'd rather have crappy black bean nachos than chicken noodle soup.
I thought airport black bean nachos was the worst, but airport chicken noodle soup? That's wild. You guys are crazy.
National Day, Anthony A.
All right, we have National Teacher Day. Shout out all the teachers across the world.
Thank you so
much.
As
well, too. We appreciate
you. Should have a starting salary of six figures.
Hey, it's National Teacher Appreciation Week, so let's keep the love going all week.
Yeah.
And maybe you can buy them a drink. It's National Cosmopolitan Day, as in a drink that's made of vodka, triple sec, and cranberry juice.
Okay, so I found out before we opened a mic here that this drink was made in Minneapolis, Minnesota. It was invented in Now, I've never been to Minneapolis.
Well, as somebody who grew up in Minnesota, I'm going to tell you right now, that is not the most posh place.
Is that the most posh place in the country?
I would have never thought that. I would have thought it came from Manhattan or something, but no.
Okay, so one of the most watched series in history, and it's back, by the way. Gen Z is all over it right now. Always featured the Cosmopolitan as a drink. What is it? 877-730-DCS1.
The Dana Cortez Show podcast.
According to an article in Men's Health, 65% of 10,000 men polled think that crying is weak when you're a man, that it shows weakness.
Oh,
I don't agree.
Well, crying is showing weakness, and it's showing a side of vulnerability, which a lot of times, too, men are afraid to cry because of how we get viewed from women.
And a lot of times,
crying in front of a woman can go good or it can go horribly bad, and she could see you in a different light.
I know it's a toxic trait that men have, but men have been taught for as long as I know, don't cry, because if you do, like Anthony said, you're vulnerable. You're a woman. You're the P word.
Why is showing one of your emotions weakness? You cry when you're a baby. It is innately ingrained into your DNA. If it wasn't, you wouldn't cry the moment you're born. It's one of the emotions you must express in order to move on with the other emotions that you were born with. I'm not saying you gotta be a whiny little crybaby and cry about everything, but if that emotion is there, if you don't release it, it could turn into some toxicity.
Yeah, because I think on the flip side of that, acting out or like, you know, raging or like, you know, every guy has put his fist through a drywall, that looks more goofier than crying. You know what's funny to me is when guys cry during sports.
Oh, Anthony, thank you. See, that's not a reason to cry.
No, well, it is, because it's the way you put everything out there. You put your emotions on the line. You invested all of this, and you know it's tough when you try your hardest.
Oh, I thought you meant watching the game. You mean playing the game?
Oh, yeah. If you're watching the game and crying, yeah. You got a problem.
And I was playing sports. I learned one of the biggest lessons about crying from one of my football coaches, and he said it's okay to cry, but if you're in competition, if you're in contest, don't let your enemy see you cry. And I still agree by
because
that.
They'll view it as weakness.
My most embarrassing crying story actually comes from sports. I was 12 years old. We were playing in the state tournament. We lost the game. After the game, I started crying. And my little brother, Matt, who was 11 at the time, he just walked to me. He's like, dude, stop crying. You look like a bitch. And I was like, if I got my little brother telling me to stop crying, I need to clean it up here.
Okay, so there was a video that was floating around. Canelo Alvarez, who's one of the best fighters pound for pound in history. His son is in a ring. He gets hit and he wants to cry. And one of Canelo's team tells him, don't cry, because men don't cry. Canelo goes over there and tells his son, you need to cry. And we sat down with him recently and I asked him, where did you learn that? Here's his response.
It's okay to cry. It's not going to be less men or more.
That's
it's
so
okay
important.
To cry, to let the things go out. It feels good.
He didn't learn it from his daddy, because his daddy, he explained to us, would tell me, don't you dare cry. But he realized that was not allowing him to grow intelligently as a fighter, as a father, as a person. And so he told his son, you got to let it out, let it go.
Yeah, and I think for all the heat that Gen Z gets, their approach and their prioritization of mental health is just going to be better for all of mankind as a whole.
For humanity.
Yeah.
When's the last time you cried, Ant?
I've been having like emotional waves ever since I lost my best friend last year. Mm. He transitioned over, and not to a woman, but to, you know, passing. And he would laugh at that. Man, the biggest cry I had, though, was on his way to his burial services. I was in my car by myself driving, and I was eating pork rinds. And, you know, if you've ever dealt with the passing of a person, it comes in waves, dog. And I just remember I started bawling, dude. And
mocos and pork rinds.
We had mocos and pork rinds all over.
Ew.
So that was the last hard cry I had.
Automatic, you need to cry more. I've been married to you over a decade, and I think I've seen you cry 4 times max. 3 were for dogs.
Every time my dog dies, I cry. I'm sorry. I will. But I didn't cry when my dad died. But I think a lot of that has to do with the fact that he used to tell me, if you keep crying, I'm going to give you something to cry about. So he was
subconsciously,
I just wasn't going to cry. But I did cry when my friend Bobby, he passed recently, drug overdose. And it was hard. I mean, he was my lifelong friend. And I found myself in the church crying.
Men's Health says that research suggests crying soothes you, lifts your mood, reduces pain, and allows you to move forward. There's a difference between crying and being a crybaby, and it's okay to let that emotion out. 877-730-DCS1.
The Dana Cortez Show Podcast.
200 people just competed in a marathon to find out who's the best waiter. Let's talk about this. So they're all servers. They all had to wear tuxes. They're holding trays. Each tray has croissants, a glass of water filled to the top, and coffee. They have to walk. Remember, you can't run in a restaurant. So you have to walk 1.25 miles. And it comes down to more than just crossing the finish line first. How much coffee did you spill? How much water did you spill? Are your croissants still on the plate? The man who won, his name is Sammy Lamoris. He finished 1.25 miles in 13 minutes and 30 seconds.
Damn,
that's
dog.
Impressive.
That's even the goat right there.
Even if you're not carrying a
you
tray.
You know what? In a world where we're like, tipping too much people, that man deserves a full on tip.
There
dude.
You go.
Shout out to him.
Good point, dude.
Turn the thing around and I'm going to tip you 25%, sir. You deserve the crown.
All right. From fast waiters to Russia, where rumor is they're developing an invisibility cloak.
Invisibility.
Right? There it is. Thank you, Automatic. Similar to the one that they had in Harry Potter, which makes sense because Putin's kind of like Voldemort. So, you know, that's accurate. But this is kind of built like a rain poncho, and it protects you from heat seeking cameras, infrared light at night, and night vision goggles as well, too.
Sounds like something all the robbers are trying to avoid the ring cameras would want.
Ooh.
Or can you hide out from your wife in there?
Only you would have that little comeback right there. Jeez.
All right, guys. We're going to go to Colombia. There's this new condom that you can put on 2 hours before sex. It's like a sock, and it can expand up to 8 times its size. The demo shows that it takes a lot of tugging and pulling to get it on, but our members are used to that. We do a lot of tugging and pulling on.
Like,
yeah.
You're good with that. Okay.
Here's the catch, though. It's not reusable. So if you don't use it within the 2 hours, you cannot use it again.
You're betting a lot on going on a date and putting that on before in hopes of having sexy time? How much money are you going to spend every single time and then not be able to use it?
Damn, dog. Between like that and then like all the Blue Chew pills right now, there's like a lot of premeditated steps that men are going to have
really
to take.
There really are. Man, dude. No wonder AI girlfriends are on top right now.
The Dana Cortez Show podcast.
Rolling Stone magazine has declared a winner in the Drake versus Kendrick beef. I'll tell you who they think it is. And let's talk about who you think it is right now. This and more Best Gossip Daily Dirt. Anthony A. Celebrity birthdays.
J Balvin celebrating his birthday. Hey. And Mr. Beast celebrating birthday as well.
All right, so Tom Brady roasted Kanye West at his roast, which you can watch on Netflix now. And Kim Kardashian was there. Take a listen.
Kim Kardashian, thank you so much for being here. I know Kim was terrified to be here tonight, not because of this, but because her kids are home with their dad.
Ooh.
That would be icy.
All right, now we're going to talk about Sexy Red. She's gone country. First, it was Beyonce. Now, at a Zach Bryan concert, he's a big country artist. He's in the home of Sexy Red, St. Louis, and he brought her on stage. I was shocked because I know country music is supposed to be very conservative. If you know who Sexy Red is, Rich Baby Daddy on Drake's song, not conservative, the exact opposite of conservative. She's twerking, she's dancing, and she's up there for more than 16 minutes, and the crowd is loving every second of it.
Had I not been to her concert that you made me go to, I would not believe this, but she's got something about her that just makes you like
superstar.
Her.
Superstar.
Drake's going to get upset that somebody's taking his best friend.
Maybe so. And speaking of Drake, let's talk about Rolling Stone magazine. They have declared a winner in this heavyweight match between Kendrick and Drake. It's been a lot to keep up with. In fact, listen to this. Drake says he fed Kendrick the information about his daughter.
We plotted for a week and then we fed you the information. A daughter that's 11 years old, I bet he takes it. We thought about giving a fake name or a destination. But you so thirsty, you not concerned with investigation. Instead, you in that Venice studio, it's a celebration. You gotta learn to fact check things and be less impatient.
That's from Drake's latest release, The Heart Part 6, out of the 5 million releases we've gotten in the past 4 days. Great for hip hop, but I think it's, I believe it's a little too much at this point. Rolling Stone says Kendrick Lamar has won this round.
They said that he's won the battle.
Yeah,
because they said the bulk of the rap beef has already been done, and they say he's going to be the winner no matter what.
I agree, and that would put Drake at a solid 1-2 with one win against Meek and then one loss against Pusha T and then his loss against Kendrick.
Yeah, I think so too. I think that when you get in a ring with somebody like Kendrick Lamar, and I'm a Drake fan, y'all know this, it's just going to be hard to do because Kendrick is just a better rapper and lyricist than Drake.
I don't think Drake's going to let it go, and I think it could end up hurting his career.
Do you think it matters if Kendrick is lying about Drake having this fictitious daughter?
No, because Drake's the one who fed him the information.
But he went with it.
Exactly. In a way, I mean, it was kind of genius what Drake did.
But people love Kendrick, and no matter what, he's just a better lyricist.
Yeah, but you've already hit one kid full, so we don't believe you, dog.
Nope. Your credibility's out the window.
That's
window,
why
bro.
He did it, because he knew Kendrick would run to the studio and rap about it, even if it wasn't true.
Nah, he's still hiding the daughter, bro.
Yeah. It's not even true. All right, that's your Daily Dirt. Who do you think won? 877-730-DCS1. We'll be right back.
The Dana Cortez Show podcast.
In case you missed it, Anissa Tennant, this grandmother, was at home enjoying a night with her 4-year-old granddaughter. They were dancing to Taylor Swift. And then 32-year-old Joseph Rivera broke into their house. Now, she managed to call 911. And here she is telling her granddaughter to hide.
I need you to be really brave. So I yell, okay? I gotta go. You stay right here and I have bedroom, okay? It's okay, baby. I know, honey. I know. It's okay. It's okay.
Oh my gosh, what happened next is insane. So I go last. My story's going to be last. DJ Automatic.
New study from China says cold beer tastes better.
We already knew that.
Well, the Chinese did the research and they found that beer forms microscopic chain-like structures when it's cold, which makes it taste better and tastes smoother than room temperature beer.
Somebody tell China I've been doing the research for the past decade.
Whoa! I think beer's disgusting, cold or hot. I'm sorry, there's something about it that tastes like vomit. I don't know how to describe
it. You're alone on that one.
Yeah, it sounds like a dramatic story right there, dude.
Well, one time in high school, I drank a beer bong. Have you ever heard of that? Where there's like two beers.
Have we
one?
Heard of it? When was the last time I did one is a better question.
I did it. And then I ate pizza, and the pizza and the beer all came up in one time. And I'll never forget the taste.
Yeah, that's on you, not the beer, dog.
And it was room temperature when it came back up.
Gross.
Dude. All right. In case you missed it, Google released the most searched vacation destinations in America. And surprisingly to me, Myrtle Beach, South Carolina was the most searched area in America. I don't know. Because
they're trying to figure out where it's at.
Nobody wants to go there. They're I've just trying to locate it.
It's beautiful.
It's fun. Yeah. Oh, a hidden gem. Maybe that's what it is. Well,
way to save face with all the South Carolina homies, automatic. And we also have Niagara Falls coming in second, followed by the Grand Canyon, and then Universal Studios theme park, which I have not been to one of those. I want to go to one of those.
Automatic's been trying to get me to go to Grand Canyon, but I'm like, it's a big hole to ground.
It's beautiful, Dana. I mean, it's like nothing you've ever seen before.
So I guess we'll go check out this hole in the ground. All right. In case you missed it, Anissa Tennant is a grandma. She's babysitting her 4-year-old granddaughter. They're dancing to Taylor Swift. 32-year-old Joseph Rivera breaks in. Okay, if you missed it a little earlier, I played this part of the 911 call.
This guy came into my house. He's trying to take my car. Please help me.
This is when he first broke in. She gave him her key fob. He left and came back.
Oh.
This time she was prepared. She told her grandbaby, hide in your bedroom, as he's coming at her through the hallway back a second time because cops approached her home. She had a gun. Here's that part of the 911 call.
Get back! Get back! I have a gun! Get back! Get back! I will f***ing shoot you!
What did you do?
Because you're in my house!
He just asked her why you shot me. Sir, because you are threatening me in my home.
And you broke into my house. You're going to get shot.
She said she felt like she was the only thing between him and her granddaughter, and she didn't know what else to do. And here's the catch here. Instead of being more angry, instead of wanting to hurt him more, she helped him. Take a listen.
I will get you water, but if you hurt me, I'm going to shoot you again.
Okay, so she saved the man's life. Police enter at that very moment. They take him away. I mean, her granddaughter is traumatized. She's traumatized. But she had a gun to protect herself. Ladies, I'm telling you now, keep a gun in the house. Go take that training and all that good stuff. We got a gun in my home. I don't know that I would have the grace that this woman had to help the man who was ready to attack her. Who knows what he might have done to her and the granddaughter? Are you willing to help somebody who was just about to hurt you?
She's a kind soul, because somebody breaks in my house, I'm not going to feel bad about what happens to them.
I think it's because she was listening to Taylor Swift music, and she was like, you know what? I gotta be nice as I can. What would Taylor do in this situation?
She's gonna calm down.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, but I'm bummed. 877-730-DCS1. Would you have the grace that this grandmother did during a home invasion? Call us up. Let's talk about it. Plus, if you go to Dana Cortez Show on Instagram, I am posting this story. Thank you so much to KRQE in Albuquerque for this incredible news story.
The Dana Cortez Show podcast.
It's Teacher Appreciation Week, and in food news, we got a list of spots you can get you some free or discounted food. Let's talk about it on your Tuesday hottest hashtags here on the Dana Cortez Show. I'm Dana Cortez.
DJ Automatic.
I go by Anthony A, a.k.a. Lil Spoon.
All right, so workers are fighting against returning to work mandates. They don't want to go back into the office. Let me tell you something. Okay. The National Labor Relations Board and the EEOC say that mandates can discriminate against people with disabilities or that have health issues. Now, employers argue that being in the office is necessary because it improves culture and productivity. So the outcomes of these cases could be very critical for people who prefer to work from home. There's one man in particular who's heading this lawsuit, and he says, I've been more productive at home than ever.
Yeah, he likes to stay in his pajama pants. I get
it. No, he has a heart condition.
Oh.
A serious heart condition.
He still might like to stay in his pajama pants.
Yeah, but why not? If you're producing, what does it matter? That's poor management. If you want someone to do what you want them to do just because, but productivity is up, that's wrong.
But I think when you come up with new ideas and you just have a better work atmosphere when you're all together, like staring at somebody on Zoom is not, to me, is not conducive to making like new ideas and having things really work.
So it's going to be interesting because there's like, you can argue each side and each side will make sense, because also like to the point is like, if I have an A+ employee and they feel comfortable working from home, they don't want to come in, I'm going to let them do what they want to do. But I do agree with like the hallway morale and making sure everyone's on the same page.
I think meeting in the middle somewhere, maybe coming in twice a week or something. But I will tell you now, if you are productive at home and you want to force people just to come in because that's how you feel, but the math ain't mathin', you're going to have some pissed off employees.
Thanks.
So we'll see how this works out. All right, food news, DJ Automatic.
It's Teacher Appreciation Week, and there's a bunch of deals out there for the teachers, as long as they have their school ID with them. So okay. Whataburger's got some deals. You can get free taquitos. There's stuff at TGI Friday, Sonic, Raising Cane's, Peter Piper, Golden Corral, Buffalo Wild Wings. I mean, all the big restaurants are doing stuff for teachers because we all care about the teachers. We
want to salute them. It's great. I know it's great. And something about taquitos just seems insulting.
Well, you can get a honey biscuit, too, over there.
There it is. Honey biscuit now.
And Raising Cane's is giving 10 teachers an all-expenses-paid summer vacation.
Can we get an all-expense just paid for them six figures? What do we have to do? Why are they paid so poorly? The amount of teachers I see begging for more money, they got to do Uber, they got a roommate, grown people. And these are the people we entrust with our children. They need more than a honey biscuit, right? You know what I'm saying? They need more than that. National Day, Anthony A.
All right, let's go and start with National Cosmopolitan Day. This is the vodka triple sec cranberry and lime drink invented in Minneapolis.
Buy a teacher a Cosmopolitan this week. They need one, trust me.
For real.
And they had to put up with kids like me.
As Automatic was saying earlier, it is National Teachers Appreciation Week, and therefore today is National Teachers Day.
Oh, did you have a favorite teacher when you were little? Can you remember something that a teacher told you that meant, I don't know, that changed your life? I remember Mr. Wilson told me that I was brilliant and I didn't have to worry about my handwriting because I would always get in trouble because I was a sloppy, you know, I wrote real sloppily. My brain moves faster than my hand. And he's like, if anybody's focused on that, they're not a very good teacher. I thought, oh, Mr. Wilson made me feel good.
I had in fourth grade Miss Stoffler. She's really dope. And she told me that I was a very good storyteller. And that's kind of stayed with me ever since.
That's great.
My fourth grade teacher told me I was going to prison.
Okay, Automatic. She can have a taquito.
The Dana Cortez Show Podcast.
Your parents love you, but sometimes they can give you bad advice because of that love. It's fear. It's fear. So myself, Dana Cortez, I was talking to DJ Automatic and Anthony A here, and I thought about the time that I was ready to leave home. Remember, I had a child when I was 15. I have three beautiful daughters. My first daughter was born when I was only 15 years old, and I was ready to leave, and my mom said, don't move. It's too hard to live far away from family. Don't leave. My nana didn't want me to leave. My mom, nobody wanted me to move on, but it's because they were afraid for me. It's
of course
not because they didn't believe in me. And maybe they didn't believe in me. You got a 15 year 15 years old. You got a baby. Like, where are you going? You
know? Yeah.
Yeah. How do you nowhere
go?
Fast.
How do you how do you look back on that advice now? Do you forgive them for that ill advice?
Absolutely. They did it out of love. And that's what I wanted to discuss. We talked about Canelo Alvarez, boxer, great boxer. His dad gave him bad advice. Don't be emotional. Don't cry. And he said in the end, crying let him be a more intelligent fighter, a better father, a better person.
Oh,
okay. Yeah. So I just thought about bad advice that your parents give you. That was my mom. She just was afraid for me. Now I move all the time. It's not even a big deal.
My dad told me to quit DJing and get a real job, especially once I finished college. He was like, you know, musicians, and you're not even a real musician. They just end up as couch surfers and chasing a dream that's never going to be attained. You know, he actually had a state cop call me and ask me if I wanted to become a state cop. And I was
a cop?
Me a cop. That was the weirdest thing ever.
Cops are listening right now laughing.
And then when I shot that down, he was like, you know what you should do? You should become a paralegal. And I was like, so you don't even think I can be a lawyer? You just want me to be a paralegal? And he was like, well, you're gonna have to go to more school if you want to do that. And
he was afraid.
Shout out to paralegals.
Yeah. I mean, shout out to the paralegals.
You'll be surprised how much paralegals are in jail once you get arrested. Everyone in there is a paralegal. Everyone in there has jail advice, dog. Everyone's like, this is what you're going to do. This is what's going to happen. So I actually could kind of see why he was like, you know what? You would make a good paralegal, dog.
He was afraid for you, Automatic. He didn't know any successful DJs in his lifetime, you know? And you've been able to do it. You've been able to finesse your way into doing what you love and making a living doing it because you're a great DJ.
I don't know if I would call it a finesse. I would call it a lot of practice and a lot of hard work.
There it
exactly.
is. Yeah, but he did not miss when he said that a lot of DJs just sleep on couches. So
I mean, he was kind of right about that.
For me, it was my grandma when she said, you're going to need to learn cursive writing, cursive handwriting. Yeah, that was like, I was like, what? And I was like, I would stress about that so much in elementary school about learning cursive and having good cursive handwriting. And now I'm just typing everything out. So
I think about the fact that we used to have to practice for hours and hours.
Yeah, dude.
I can't even remember the last time I wrote in cursive.
Nah, not at all. Now,
even
so now
when you
I'm
sign,
like,
it's an electronic squiggle. It's not even your name. The cursive doesn't even know what people are
and
writing.
Now the tables have completely turned because now I'm telling my grandma she has to learn how to text. So
let me teach you how the world really is, Grandma.
The Dana Cortez Show Podcast.